fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Muck Bill Yarbrough, and it's Monday. I hope you all had a great weekend. I know I did with all the sports action. I'll be in for Sunny until Friday, August 4th. Let's get into the July 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. How about the African team's results over the weekend in the FIFA Women's World Cup? Zambia beat Costa Rica 3-1 and Morocco defeated South Korea 1-0. Nigeria drew 0-0 with Ireland and they are through to the knockout phase. South Africa's Banyana play Italy on Wednesday to decide their fate. What a tournament this has been. My colleague Mike Hove and I discussed these teams and the other storylines in this year's Women's World Cup. Take a listen. Today on the show, we have with us my colleague Mike Hove, who is turning into being one of my go-to sports analysts on the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023. Mike, thanks for being with us today.
What's good, Swiss?
So let's talk about the African teams and what they've been able to do in their last few games. We have seen debutant teams like Zambia and Morocco both get wins. You know, what does that mean for them?
Well, for Zambia, it's unfortunate. They picked up the winning spirit a little too late. So they're going home. But you know what? It's still impressive because they're going home with a W at their first World Cup. Morocco, on the other hand, they seem to have turned up. Once again, it's also a little unfortunate. It's a blessing and a curse, right? The blessing is that they collected a W and they kept their hopes alive that they could advance to the knockout stages of the group, right? But at the same time, that 6-0 opening loss was, so now in their next game, they're playing against Colombia. Colombia is the top of the group. Now they have to win against Colombia to make sure that they advance, which is also tough because even if they win, they've got 6 points. The team that they're competing against to make it through with is Germany. If Germany wins their next game, they too have 6 points. But that 6-goal deficit is where it gets a little tricky for Morocco. But either way, listen, it's still a something to applaud. They pulled off a good win. And if they, regardless of whether or not they advance to the knockout stages, if they're able to win in their next game, that's still another thing to applaud.
Absolutely. No, I think, this is definitely a learning curve for the debutant teams. And I could see the potential that they have. Usually when you're a debutant team in a tournament that's been around for so long, since 91, you usually don't perform well. Mm-hmm. You don't beat teams that have been here for a while. Mm-hmm. So I think that's impressive. Now let's talk about the teams that still have a lot of hope as well to get through. Mm-hmm. You got South Africa. Mm-hmm. Their situation is a unique one in that group as mm-hmm. well. They're in a group with Sweden, Italy, and Argentina. Mm-hmm. Very difficult group. Still have life, have life.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about Nigeria.
The
Super Falcons and what they've been able to do as well mm-hmm. in their group. So let's start off with Banyana. Mm-hmm. In their next game, what to do and what are kind of like the implications in that group in order for them to make it through.
Now with Banyana, their fate, just like Morocco, is in their hands. If they have to win their next game against Italy. If they win against Italy, there's a very high likelihood that they will go through. So it's a must win for them. It's do or die for Banyana. That's the situation. Right now, they're third, 3 points. If they win, they're going to have 4 points. That's about it. That's the only way. They have to do what they have to do. Now, Argentina's also there, but the likelihood of them going through.
Yeah, because Argentina's final game is Sweden.
Sweden.
And so Sweden has been playing some of the strongest.
Exactly. So that's where the situation is. The reality of it is to go through the teams that are going through in Group G, mm-hmm. it's either Italy or Banyana. And the next game is going to decide who's going through with Sweden.
All right. And lastly, but definitely not least, the Super Falcons of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Man, how well have they been playing in your eyes, Mike, in this tournament?
Man, this tournament, the Super Falcons have stood tall. They've shown why they are the African team that has been at every Women's World Cup. They've shown their class. They've played really well. They've shown real good class. Their goalkeeper has really stood out for me. I honestly believe she could be a potential golden glove candidate for the World Cup. The team itself has just performed really well. They're through. I mean, that's a guaranteed for them. With the rest of the African teams who've been here debating about how the fate is in their hands. With Super Falcons, they're through.
Right,
the
right.
fate is now in the knockout. They're talking knockout now. You know what I mean? So Super Falcons is definitely the one African team that I applaud.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think this tournament really showcased, you know, four different types of African teams. Mm-hmm. And all of them really have come to perform to the best of their ability, with two teams that have been around for a while, Banyana Banyana in Nigeria, mm-hmm. and having two debutante teams in Morocco and Zambia. All around impressive. You know, I definitely would love to see a couple of them sneak in there alongside the Super Falcons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We will see how that goes. Now, on to the other teams that are in this tournament that were expected or are expected to be playing at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. national team.
Mm-hmm.
What's been going on with our ladies over there?
Man, oh man. Last week we talked about how their performance at the World Cup really has been a little shaky. You know, this is the team that is going for the three-peat. But right now their performance is a little shaky. They're on top of the group, granted, of Group E with 4 points. But either way, now it's the fact that they have to win their final game
against
to ensure
Portugal. Mm-hmm.
that they go through. Now, Portugal is third place, but Portugal has 3 points. If by whatever reason
mm-hmm.
they lose,
yeah.
there's a very high likelihood that they will be out, which would be very disappointing for a team that has carried it back-to-back. So they have to win against Portugal for them to comfortably and securely say they're through. Netherlands, their last game is against Vietnam. That's a given. Vietnam has secured 0 points. Now, once again, like I said last week, football
is
impossible.
Football.
Is nothing. You know, Morocco pulled up a defeat when everybody ruled them out. Zambia did the same thing. Everybody ruled them out. There's nothing that's stopping Vietnam from doing the same thing. However, the likelihood of that happening is very slim. So we can almost say Netherlands is in. Now it's down to that debate of who's going through with Netherlands between the United States and Portugal.
Man, so much excitement in this Women's World Cup. Let's just kind of go over some of the teams that you think have been having the most dominant performances. We have Switzerland at the top
mm-hmm.
of Group A. Australia, as we've mentioned, has been really playing well as well.
Mm-hmm.
Japan, to me, I feel like is the first team to secure 3 wins. They're the first ones to play all 3 games and mm-hmm. secure 3 wins
mm-hmm.
at the top of their table. Really, really dominating in Group C as
yep.
well, right? You have a team like Spain, and they put 4 on Spain.
Let me pause you there.
Yes.
Japan.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. 11 goals for, 0 goals against.
Wow. That is unbelievable. Why do you feel like Japan has not been the storyline of
this
tournament?
It's interesting. You know, this tournament really is turning out to be something really intriguing. You know, before the tournament, all people were really talking about specific teams, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing the Super Falcons performing well. We're seeing Japan really performing well.
Yeah.
And I remember before the tournaments, people were talking about the U.S., you know, going for the three-peat.
Right.
Right. They'll talk about Brazil.
Right.
They'll talk about Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not the teams that are really standing out right now. The teams that are really the talk of the tournament.
Yeah.
Nigeria being the black horse.
Right.
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 Japan really standing out.
Coming out of nowhere. But
you know.
But if you know Japan, you know Japan comes to play.
Right.
But I don't think
it just wasn't what we expected.
Right.
I wasn't surprised if Japan had made it, you know, obviously they're making it to the knockouts.
Right.
But before this discussion had,
yeah.
if you had said to me Japan is making it to the knockouts,
right.
I'd believe that.
Yeah.
But I would have thought they'd pick
second.
Up
I thought
second
I,
in the group. You know?
Almost every prediction, you know, that I had seen was that Spain comes out at top of
exactly.
that group. They come through, but they come
so
in
now,
at a second.
It's very interesting to see.
Yeah.
To see how Japan really is playing out well. Their previous game, 4-0.
Yeah.
Something amazing. So this is really becoming an intriguing Women's World Cup. What I will say is it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Because the hype behind the Women's World Cup,
right.
it's living up to that hype.
The beauty of the game of football is that, like you said, impossible is nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're really seeing this in real time. Teams that are expected to perform are losing to teams that people kind of, you know, didn't expect to do so well.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly to the Men's World Cup, right,
yep.
where you had certain teams making it all the way. So it's amazing to see. But we will definitely keep you all updated. Mike, thank you so much for the conversation. I know our listeners are going to be loving it, and we definitely will have you back on. Thanks again, brother.
Let's go. Appreciate it, sir.
VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, plus 1-202-258-3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a report we did that mattered to you. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa, or tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. That number, again, is plus 1-202-258-3076. Tell us your name and where you live, and you might hear your comments on our shows. And thanks for 60 years of support.
In more football news, Mike Mbonye spoke with women's football analyst Sam Amadou about Nigeria's 0-0 draw with Ireland, as well as Nigeria making it to the knockout phase alongside Australia.
Yeah, I must say it was a very fantastic performance from the Super Falcons. They really did everything necessary to ensure they didn't bottle it. Playing against an already eliminated side, a side that is they have nothing to lose, is always more difficult than when you play against a side that also needs that's a bit ambitious. And you could see it was a game that definitely didn't the draw, and all they had to do was to ensure they do everything possible to manage the game and also contain the Irish. And I think they did fantastically well from beginning to the end.
The Super Falcons of Nigeria put in extra effort or tactics in the game against the Republic of Ireland.
The coaching, the strategy, the tactical plan for me was top-notch, because when you see how the team set up, it was glaring that the coach, getting into the first half, we really worked hard to really ensure that we had a balanced game. We matched match Ireland in the very, very difficult positions. We never gave, we stabbed them of spaces and ensured that they never had the opportunity to break into our lines. And I think beyond that, it's obvious that in the second half, we really had everything going on for us, and we ensured that, yes, instead of we being more defensive, we were pouring forward, putting more pressure on the defense of the Irelands, of the Irish players. And I think it was really helpful. We managed to force them to the half, and at least in most difficult situation, even did well, creating a lot of chances and also even getting to have some of our half chances coming up the crossbar. So I think they did fantastically well to have really kept their own in the first half, and at least ensure tactically they set up themselves practically well. I think every plan in the game was executed to the latter, and I think it's a great joy to have seen the team hold it and manage the game in the best possible way. And I think getting to the knockout stages shows that, yes, this team is improving with each and every game and has the potentials to shock any of the big teams in the competition.
As an African women's football analyst, what's your assessment of the Super Falcons games in Group B of the FIFA Women's World Cup?
I think from the beginning of the tournament, they did everything well to ensure that they get themselves right in. They really did brilliantly defensively and also were very solid in the middle. We had every means of earning our own. We were close to even winning almost all the three games. And this puts us in a place of dominance. This puts us in a very bright position and ensuring that we are possibly nick all the 3 points and finished comfortably at the top of the group. But again, I think to the list of performance, it was getting the right results and getting those results in those two opening games. These are games many never imagined come true, because one, we really had limited expectation, had little expectation coming in the moment, looking back at what happened at the African Cup of Nations. So African Women's Cup of Nations. So I think it's an exciting result. They did end from beginning against Canada at the holding the Olympic champions, really showed great potentials of the team, and going on to beat the hosts, who are also one another high-ranking side, you know, from drawing the number 7, the Olympic champions, Canada, to beating a Sami Kerr-less Australia, who are also ranked 10 in the world. You know, it speaks volume about the huge potential in the team and also how brilliantly the technical crew has also improved and also involved with the team over the last 2.5 years. So I think it's a bright opportunity the team has had. And going into the third game, they knew it was just going to be down to getting a draw, a point, and the point was all that matters. And I think this is what they needed to do. And keeping their faith in their own hands, they held it firmly and ground out the results in the best perfect possible way. And I think to have achieved this, and looking at also the records they've managed to set, becoming the first African side to have kept two clean sheets in the group stages, and also becoming the only African side to have also gone unbeaten in their group stage game. This is incredible. And I think this also raises the profile of African teams and also gives other teams pushing for knockout stages places from Africa a very bright opportunity. Nigeria has shown leadership and has shown that, yes, they are the giant of Africa.
That was Sam Amadou, an African women's football analyst, speaking with Mike Mbonye from Abuja, Nigeria.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Jumping into the ring, Terrence Crawford knocked down Errol Spence Jr. 3 times Saturday night before ending the fight at 2 minutes and 32 seconds of the 9th round on a technical knockout to cement himself as one of the greatest welterweights in history. The fight was the most anticipated match in several years. It made Crawford the first undisputed champion in the 147-pound division in the four-belt era that began in 2004. Crawford already owned the WBO belt and added the WBC, WBA, and IBF titles. He ran his KO streak to 11 matches, the longest active stretch. Staying in the ring, in an unprecedented move, South Africa's Amzolele Dieye has declared himself the new Africa featherweight champion even before the competition is over in Yaoundé, Cameroon. The Africa Elite Men and Women's Boxing Championships got underway on Sunday, with Dieye stopping Equatorial Guinea's Noha Alkan in the first round. He was in such a devastating move that he subjected his opponent to 2 standing counts in the first round before the referee stopped the fight. Dieye now meets defending champion Armando Sigakwe of Mozambique in the quarterfinals. He has little respect for the champion whom he says he will beat. The confident South African spoke to boxing reporter John Nene.
I'm the new AFPC featherweight champion.
You declare yourself champion already?
Yeah. I declare myself already as a champion.
You feel the Mozambique boxer, Sigauk, this time round, he's not going to retain his title?
No. He's not going to retain his title because of I'm smarter than him. I have the power. I have everything. But he has the power and the stamina. He wants to put a pressure on me. Then I will make the fight easier than, like, I will beat him by knockout if it's necessary. But I'm not going there for the knockout. I'm going there to display the boxing. I've learned a lot from previous fights. I lost on big stages against China, against India.
When you declare yourself champion, you appear to be so confident this time, D.A.
Yes. I'm too confident this time. This is my time. I will be a champion.
Wow. How do you describe the current champion from Mozambique, Sigauk?
Mozambique champion, I wasn't there before, but they tell me that, yeah, he put pressure, he has the power, but I will make sure that outclassing him.
Now tell me, what do you do apart from boxing?
Apart from boxing, I'm studying as a sport management in ETA College from East London, South Africa.
So you feel you cannot just rely on boxing only?
No. I can't rely on boxing only, but I love boxing too much.
Yeah, so in this case, what do you aim to do after you graduate in the course that you are doing on sports management?
After I'm done my courses, I can get an opportunity on IBA. I can get an opportunity around South Africa to be a part of a SANABO executive. That's what I want to be on. Like, I like boxing, I like sport. Yeah.
But then even this tournament, there's good prize money. Yeah. $15,000 is good money.
Yeah, it's good, but we're not focusing on the money. We're focusing on history. We need to make history.
Now that you have declared yourself champion, it means if it stays the way it is, then you're going to get the $15,000.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. I'll do everything I want to do, like as my goal. I will start at my home. I will change my home. I will make my mom proud of me. I will make my coaches proud of me.
So what do you intend to do to your mom when you get $50,000?
When I get $50,000, firstly, I will change the home. I will board her a home. I will make sure that...
New house.
Yeah.
Where do you come from in South Africa?
I'm coming from Tanzania, East London, Tanzania.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you want to build your mom a new house?
Yes, that's my goal. Before she to God take him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How old is she now?
She's 47 years old. Yeah.
Still young, very young. Yeah, very young. Even right now, we cannot even discuss that unless it happens by bad luck.
Yeah.
So in this case, how do you treat this tournament with this prize money? As boxers, how do you look at it?
It looks like, yeah, he gives us the confidence on other competitions of IBA. Give us that, the motivation. We will look up on our career. We will focus on to qualify on qualifiers, then we qualify.
And what are your future plans in boxing?
I want to be Olympian, firstly. Yeah, I want to be a world champ again. I want to be Commonwealth Games, each and every tournament. I will be the part of. I will be the champion.
What about professional boxing?
No, I'm not rushing to go to professional. I still want to be the featherweight who has the history in South Africa.
And how would you describe professional boxing in Africa as a whole? Is it really paying?
No, it isn't really paying. Yeah, it's they're not paying well. You can't achieve your goals in professional.
In Africa?
Yeah, it's not easy. Like as Americans, and like, for example, there is a champ, but they say his first fight was IBF from America.
What happened to him?
He won. His first opportunity was good, but if ever you can turn pro in South Africa, you can't get that opportunity.
Okay. So in this case, Africa as a whole, as a professional boxer, you cannot say that you'll become a millionaire.
You can't, yeah. Okay. But you can if ever there are opportunities and connections with your management team and you.
That was John Nene in South Africa.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Swinging it to netball. Capacity crowds have been following the action at the Netball World Cup in South Africa, with capacity crowds at the Cape Town International Convention Center. The top four ranked nations, Australia, New Zealand, England, and Jamaica, all finished as winners of their Stage 1 groups. The tournament now heads into its second phase, with the top 12 teams from Round 1 divided into two pools of six. Myron Nacker in Durban reports. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings to you, Mukbil. Fans from around the world have flocked to South Africa to experience the Netball World Cup. Those who've not been able to get their hands on tickets are enjoying the festivities at the local fan parks. It's the first time the prestigious tournament is being staged on African soil, and fans are excited.
I just wanted to give the support to the netball team. Most of the time, support has been given to the soccer chains, you know. So this year, I think it's time for us to support the ladies' movement.
I'm awesome. It's my first time here, and congrats and good luck to South Africa.
I'm coming all the way from Mpumalanga, and I just decided to say I need to come here and experience the moment, and all the best to the Proteas.
Three out of the four African teams in the tournament remain in the hunt for silverware. South Africa, Malawi, and Uganda are all through to the second phase of the competition, after finishing as runners-up in their pools in the opening round. Zimbabwe failed to win a game and has been knocked out. The host, South Africa's Proteas, beat Wales and Sri Lanka in their first two games. They came undone, though, against Jamaica's Sunshine Girls. The Proteas captain, Bongi Msomi, vows her side will do better.
We actually came here knowing exactly that the Jamaicans are going to come hard. They're actually really a great side. We really wanted to put out some great performances, which I think first half we probably did. I think we really lost concentration on the third, where we just started to pick it up in the last quarter, but a bit too late. So there's a lot of learnings, a lot of great things as well.
Sixth-ranked Malawi thumped Fiji 62-48 in the first game of their second-round match earlier today. Captain Jane Chimaliro says they're picking up momentum at the right time.
As you all know, we have qualified in the next stage, so we came here just to win. Our goal is to win, to maybe to come position one or position two in our group. So we came harder and we played as a team. That's why we have won this game.
Uganda showed plenty of promise and spirit as they went down to defending champions New Zealand 54-44. Their group wins against Singapore and Trinidad and Tobago, however, see them through to the next round. Goalscorer Mary Cholhock says there was a lot to learn in defeat.
Oh yeah, it was really a big test for us. We knew New Zealand was going to come back when we actually were just head-to-head. And it was really tough for us to actually execute those little things that we actually got, that actually got us on. But it was really good. I'm proud of the girls, the performance tonight. And we actually learned a lot from this game.
Two teams from each pool will progress to the semi-finals. The final will be staged on 8 August. This is Myron Nyker for VOA Africa in Durban.
And that's a wrap for the July 31st edition of the show. Hope you all have a great start to the week. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Washington, in for Sonny Young. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Get it?